Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event.
Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferratech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferratech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferratech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferratech. Ferratech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X from the Gwinnett Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I am Mike Sam, and alongside Steve and Julian. Hello, Steven.
Hey, Mike. You did good.
Yeah, I know. What are you doing with my business card? You're like throwing them all over the room.
Yeah. Well, you asked
for... Those things are expensive.
You didn't say how many you wanted. You just asked for business cards, so I just kept giving you business cards.
I appreciate that.
You're anything for you, Mike.
You're a good man.
I go above and beyond.
We've got some good people in the studio. A couple businesses we want to highlight today here on the program. We've got Nate and Amy Wilson here from Muse Salon Suites. We're going to talk about hair and things like that, stuff that Steven knows nothing about.
Very little. That's for sure.
Yes, very little is a good word there. Also, John Moulton is here from Huntsburg Knives. And he actually has one of the knives that... he built
cutlery tools, classes, and live forging demonstrations.
That's
can't wait
cool.
to talk to him.
Yes, but don't take him off. Make sure he's
happy. He is sitting next to me,
yes.
So I'll make sure he stays in a good mood.
You're the first one he's going after if we make
him
mad.
Cut your vegetables.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, and on that note, let's get started now. Maybe we should do him first and then send him out the door.
You know, I'm going to let you lead, Mike.
Okay, we'll go with the Muse Salon Suites. That way I can make a bunch of hair jokes during the interview.
I can't wait.
Nate and Amy Wilson are the owners of Muse Salon Suites in Sugar Hill, Georgia. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you.
All right, give us a broad overview. Tell us about your company and the services you guys offer.
Okay. We are a collection of private luxury salon suites to help the professional be able to operate their own salon business. And we assist them in everything that they need to be successful.
Where's the collection of suites located?
We are just off of 20 by Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, and you turn in by the Applebee's and go behind the Chevron, and we're back in there by all the dentists.
Now, I noticed you said luxury salon suites. There are other organizations out there that will offer the salon professional a suite. What separates your suites from some of the other locations that a professional could locate at?
The size and space of the rooms, the furniture that we provide, it's fully furnished for them. So it's move-in ready, kind of turnkey. We also provide the salon things that you would get when you work at a salon, which is a receptionist, scheduling, and payment taking, as well as just anything that they may need. And that makes us different. And then we also provide advertising and marketing. And then we're just a family atmosphere where we support each other and take care of each other as well.
So if I'm a salon professional, I am trying to build my own brand to some extent, but there's benefit to joining the Muse brand because I get the Muse advertising as well.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so that's...
But we definitely support you and your brand and help you to make your own brand.
Working with different stylist, I assume there's all different kinds of styles then. I mean, you know, you can get people that are kind of experts in different areas.
Yes, and that's what one thing we also specialize in is really trying to make an eclectic group of different professions. So we have hair and nails, massage therapy, esthetician, waxing, and going on down the line for more services like microblading and lash extensions.
All right, I'm looking at the business card, and I'm looking at the shirt that Nate's wearing. I'm looking at the shirt you're wearing. I'm looking at your hair. All I see is purple everywhere. That seems to be the dominant color.
Yes, it is, because my nickname is Purple Chick, so I have a slight obsession with
that color. Whoa. Hold on. Hold on. I think we've got breaking news, Mike. Your nickname is Purple Chick. Can you tell the story of how that name came about?
I'm truly obsessed with the color purple, and so my friends and family just named me the Purple Chick, and it's kind of stayed with that. Anytime anybody who knows me sees the color purple, they think of Amy.
So at what point did you take it to the point of coloring your hair purple?
That was a big decision. I really wanted to do it, but I was a mom of three and I thought, oh, I can't do it. But then I'm in the industry and I said, why not? And it was actually a great decision because nobody ever forgets me.
And Nate, you colored your hair purple too.
Yeah, right? And that's why it's gone.
Right. Okay. So in one case, the experiment went really well.
Yeah. The experiment went really, really bad.
Yeah, it was not pretty.
How long have you all been doing this?
We are about to celebrate our first year of open. And I've been in the industry as a nail tech with my own company, Amy Nichols Nails, for 18 years.
When it comes to, I loved the answer of the spectrum of the different things that you guys offer. I would assume there's also more than one of a nail person could be in there as well, because
yes,
even in doing nails, there's probably some eclectic mix of ways that you do it.
Yes. And there's so many people to service. So only one person can service so many people. So yes, we have multiples of each one.
You're in a very competitive field. I mean, there are salons everywhere.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Well, again,
at least on the hair side.
Yes. So, you know, how do you get that business there? How do you let people know about, you know, your whereabouts?
Basically, just, you know, advertising, word of mouth. I'm a member of business alliances. I get out there. I get in the community. I'm very involved in our community. So I spread the word myself out there. And then all of our clients, every time they come in, they share the news with somebody else about Muse Salon Suites.
What do you enjoy most about what you're doing?
I'm truly passionate about it, in the fact of the industry itself, but then also in helping people.
Now, let me ask, you guys are co-owners or own the practice. What are your day-to-day duties for you? And then Nate, what are your day-to-day duties?
I am there working as a nail tech every day. So I'm there for everybody if they need me. But then I also can help anybody, give a tour if anybody's interested, and just greet clients. So I'm there for everybody every day.
And I don't get to be there quite as often because I do have a full-time job outside of Muse. So in the times that I can get in there, I really just try to dedicate myself to the clients that are there. If they need a light bulb change, they need anything done around there, maybe the heater AC is not working quite right, the Wi-Fi, anything that they may need, because we really try to foster a family atmosphere there. We want it to feel like family. We want it to be someplace that they feel comfortable coming to work. But along with what we offer with them, minimal distractions so that they can ultimately focus on their client that they have in their suite at that time. So they're running their own business, but they don't have to deal with all the distractions that oftentimes come along with running your own business.
And I would think that concept of trying to create a family at the Muse Salon with all the different business owners in there, I would imagine that's another way that you guys have separated yourself in just your first year from some of the other
salons. Exactly. It's something that we've really tried to focus on for that reason alone. You can get into some of the other salon suites that are in the area that are very corporate. And you can feel that when you go in there. They're all set up exactly the same. There's kind of a hospital type feel to them. And we wanted to separate ourselves in the fact that our clients can customize their suite. They can make it feel like their own. And some of these people are coming in, they really want to own their own business, but they've never really known how to do it, or they've never had somebody help them with that, be that stepping stone. So at Muse, we really want to help them. You know, we obviously want people to stay. If they want to feel comfortable and they want to be there, we'd love to have them. But if Muse is that stepping stone to help them start their own business, that's what we created Muse for, was to help other people get that entrepreneurship bug and learn how to do it. And this is, can be something on a smaller scale to help them get there.
One other question. Obviously, a lot of this interview has been focused on for the stylists, because you're looking for those stylists who are looking to have a place and kind of a bigger space and be part of a family. Talk a little bit to the consumer, not me, because I just use setting number two. But talk to the consumer who is looking for a good salon that might look at Muse and go, well, I don't know which one to pick. Is there help in you know, I'm just going to walk in the door. How would you direct somebody who walked in the door and said, I'm looking, but I don't have word of mouth, referral, or anything like that? How can you help them?
Well, I definitely, that's another thing that sets us apart, is that we have so many different options there. So we can do your nails and your hair and a massage. And so when somebody comes in, I just ask them, you know, what is it that they're looking for? What do they need? And because I pay attention to our stylists that are in there, I kind of know who and which direction for them to go to, and then I introduce them and let the professional take it.
Mike, I'm gonna put in a correction. I can use their services because massage and nails and
there you go.
It's just the hair that I really can't get any help with.
I've never heard of anything quite like this. Is this unique? How many are there? Lots of examples of this around?
Well, we are unique just because we are one location. As of now, we're not corporate, but we do follow the model of the salon suites, which is readily available out there. But we are different in the way that I am a professional. I know what their life is like. I am there working as a professional every day. And so I know what their life is like, and I'm there to service them as well.
On the business side, where do you see this going? What are the grand plans?
I would definitely like to have multiple locations just because salon services need to be available in so many different areas, but I would like for more in the future.
Yeah, and one of the things we talk about, because we talk to business owners all the time on the show, and that's who listens to the show as well, is when you get to that point, all of a sudden now you're running the business, you may not be able to be on the floor as much. And you kind of have to balance that. I know that would be kind of tough.
It will definitely be tough. My clients might not be so happy about that, but I will try to stay as long as I can doing what I do because I love it. But longevity, we all are getting older and we have to have other plans.
We're talking with Amy and Nate Wilson with Muse Salon Suites. And Muse, by the way, is M-U-Z-E. When people walk through the door, what's maybe something that surprises them? Oh, I didn't know you did this, or I didn't expect that.
It looks a lot different. I've had so many people say, I mean, because we have a website and we're on Facebook. So there's pictures, obviously, of the main reception area there. But I have to tip my hat to Amy and her mom. They did most of the decorating. When you walk in, there's a couple chandeliers. The front is done really nice. We got our logo right there. So most people will say, I didn't know it was this nice. There's 12-foot ceilings, which is pretty rare in the industry. Most of them are drop ceilings at 8-foot tall, which makes them feel smaller. So it's a very open, inviting feel. So the most common thing I would get is, I didn't know it was this nice, especially when they walk around and see the amenities we provide, the things that we give them. The size of the laundry room. I mean, a lot of our competitors have one laundry machine and it's coin operated. We have three washers, three dryers, and we provide the soap and everything for them. Plus, then there's a full break room with a Keurig machine and a fridge and all the amenities that you would expect there. So I would say the most often comment we have is, I didn't expect it to be this nice. I didn't expect it to be like this.
And I've been around some of the competitors. The idea of fully furnished, and you talked about, hey, you give them the freedom to make it their own however they want. But the fact that it's fully furnished, that's very rare, is it?
I mean,
other than sparse furnishings, let's say, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yep. And that is another thing that sets us different, is because it truly is turnkey. You could come with just your blow dryer and your scissors and your products and be ready to work.
Are you constantly looking for more masseuse, more, you know, hairstylist, more, you know, nail folks, or are you pretty much packed out? Is there like a waiting list?
I would love to say that, but no, since we are still in our first year, we do have some suites available.
Great. And for maybe those listening that are thinking, I've never thought about this. I would love to, you know, kind of kickstart my career in that business. You know, what are they looking as far as costs, commitment, things like that?
You definitely need to have just all of your products to do the services that you do. And then there's paperwork that you need to have as far as a business license, obviously your professional license, and then your deposit, and you pick your suite and you're move-in ready.
And as you said, you guys do a lot of the marketing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely help promote them. We run their specials for them. You know, I'm a member of the business alliance groups, and I spread the word about the different services that we offer. And so, yes, we
definitely get them on the website.
Yep.
We have a website that shows all of their information and links to click to book them.
There's a lot of business owners who might be listening who have a friend who is trying to get off, get their business off the ground and different things. So I'm going to ask you to repeat one more time just the spectrum of the types of stylists and the types of professionals that you are looking for, always looking for at Muse Salon Suites to be able to relocate to you guys.
Yeah, definitely hairstylists in all shapes and forms as far as different textures.
Those who specialize in bald people?
And specialize in straight razor shaves and barbering, as well as facialists. We're looking for microblading. We could even get an RN nurse in there to do injections, you know, Botox, things like that. Teeth whitening, boutique, nails. There's endless possibilities. We can also have a photographer. They could use it as a booth. And you could even be even creative with some of our miscellaneous suites, and real estate agents and people can use it as a meeting conference room.
I want to take one of the suites and make it a radio studio.
We'll broadcast
from there.
We'd have to do a little bit of buffering for some sound, but outside of that.
That's ambiance. Yeah. You want that in the background.
It would sound like you'd be in a barrel, but...
I got you. Does their favorite color have to be purple, or if they don't, you know, is that okay?
No, that's okay.
So if their favorite color
is
blue,
you're in quick.
You get a little bit more of a discount. Right.
Bring in like a purple mug or something.
The purple discount.
Yeah, exactly.
I am kind of a sucker for that.
So you do the little Monty Python interview when you're seeing who wants to come on in as a suite. What's your favorite color? It better be purple. No. Blue.
Otherwise you get cast.
Wrong.
That's right.
Again, go ahead and give the location and definitely give the website, all that kind of information.
Okay. We're at 4749 Nelson Brogdon Boulevard, which is also Highway 20 in Buford, Sugar Hill. We're kind of on the borderline there. And our number is 470-769-0054. And please visit MuseSalonSuites.com. We also have a Facebook page, Muse Salon Suites. Love for you to visit there and like our page.
And you mentioned you're behind the Applebee's and the Chevron.
Yep.
I know that area real well. So next time I'm in the area, I'll just stop by.
We'd love to have you.
Yes, I could walk in. They go, hey, look, we can do something with that guy.
Well, just
as
so you know,
if Steven walks in and like, what do we do with him?
Yeah, I got nothing for you.
We do have a lady in there, the Hair Den by Amy. And I've actually, you know, I straight razor my head all the time.
Right.
And I just, one day I was like, you know, I'm just sick of it. So she specializes in that.
Nice.
So I went in there and she took her time and straight razor. And it was actually kind of a nice treat. We do have some gentlemen that come in there that are bald and have like beards, and she'll do beard trimming for them and stuff.
Nice.
We have some stuff
good
to cater to guys like you.
So at the end of the joke, yes, there definitely is services that can be rendered for me. I still am on setting number one and two, so forgive me. I still do that.
Yeah, trust me. I know it's a lot easier sometimes.
The racetrack cut. So.
Exactly.
Great. Well, Nate and Amy, congratulations so far. Continued success. Thanks for coming by and sharing everything about Muse Salon Suites.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Mike, before we get to John Huntsberg, I just want to remind you and all of our viewers that we are broadcasting at the Sonesta Hotel, and we are in the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. And Mike, you definitely know that love is what makes a Subaru. But you know what else makes a Subaru? Awards make Subaru. You like to talk about how we are an award-winning show. Did you know
we
that
are.
Subaru has been named 2016 Best Overall Brand, 2016 Most Trusted Brand, and 2016 Best Resale Value, according to Kelley Blue Book? Our listeners can go to SubaruofGwinnett.com and read all about the different awards that Subaru has won. They can also go to Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. They can visit, they can come in and see the difference. They can follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. Truly an award-winning car and car dealership.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Woo!
Take Ric Flair's word for it. Go visit Subaru of Gwinnett and go to their website.
I can't top that. All right. Shout out to Trey, the producer, for pulling that out
of
the hat.
And his timing was impeccable, which is why he now runs the
board and not
the
me.
Sound effects.
Yeah, that's the best thing of us moving into our new location here at Sonesta.
Amen, brother. Preach. Well done, Trey.
All right. Our next guest here from Huntsberg Knives, John Moulton. John, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
All right. Huntsberg Knives, tell us about your company and what you guys do.
If I would have known that would have been my my section would have been preferenced by Ric Flair. I couldn't request it any better. That's amazing. Thank you.
I like this
man. You gotta beat the man. Woo
woo.
I like this guy. I like this. Go ahead. Keep going, John.
So what was the question? Oh, about me, about what I do. I make sharp stuff. I cut stuff.
When you're not watching wrestling, what are you doing?
I'm a professional wrestling fan and I make knives. Next question.
Wrestling reruns on YouTube at 4 a.m.
Oh,
never,
come on.
Never.
Stop it.
In your parents' bedroom?
I don't know. My wife might disagree, but whatever. Primarily, the focus has been shifted. I started off in primarily just blacksmithing. Got started with Mark Hopper, who's located in Atlanta. Runs a great blacksmithing school. He and I hit it off, and I started, I guess I shouldn't bang on the table. We started teaching together, and he really let me delve in full-time with him. And it was a luxury I had for 3 years to spend with him kind of nonstop and soak it up. And he had early on a lot of experience in production, and most makers do. And they get there. It's if anything for master, right? 50,000 hours is kind of the kind of baseline, really. So I said, well, I don't have that. I don't have that ease of expertise and being able to pick up something new and make a new item or wherever we're going. I don't have that kind of mastery at all. So I said, let me branch off and focus and get into production work. It's where my heart's at. It's also, I want to be alone. I like being a hermit. I like being by myself, which I found is actually shooting myself in the foot because what am I? I'm my own marketing department. So I have to go out and talk, and we do a live forging demonstrations, and you're talking to big crowds, and it's a lot of fun, but it's so diverse from what my first expectations were. I knew they were going to get shot down anyways.
You keep shooting yourself in the foot and getting shot down. Doesn't mean like stabbing yourself in the foot?
Sure.
Stay with the theme here.
Okay. Well, stitches. We'll stick with stitches, not gun wounds. Okay.
Well, John, I was going to ask, the way Huntsburg currently exists, is it more about the products that you're making that you sell on a market, or is it more about the classes and the demonstrations?
I'm much more on the product end, and I use a lot of the live demonstrations.
To display product,
but also to give people a true sense, because they hear hand forged and you can say that can be anything. That could be drop forged and just stamped out, like mm-hmm. most knives are. Mm-hmm. And I'm competing against modern industrial revolution and techniques that have spawned from that are far much more advanced. You can go out and get a great chef's knife from Corin or from Nora or all these great knife companies for couple $100 and or less, and they're great knives and they're top of the line steel. The edge geometry may not be what you want, but if you learn about it and take your time, you can have a good knife. So what I do is kind of outdated. It's kind of when you look at modern business, they you look like a fossil. You're like, wait, you're 35 years old and you're working on a business to make handmade kitchen cutlery.
Well, today it's production lines,
right? Yeah, of course. Exactly. And you can expedite things so much faster. And I've actually been working with, I'm leaving Monday to go up and spend time with a friend of mine, Steve, in North Carolina, and help him develop a school for PTSD and drug addicts up in Asheville. The homeless population up there is rampant. So we're doing a bunch of tooling up there. So part of my desire is to, the way that my life is affected, do I give in to the I'm going to pound 3 monsters and make 20 knives as fast as I can? Or do I slow down and make this one item as beautiful as I possibly can? And not aesthetically, but functionally first. Can this cut? Does this cut real tall sweet potatoes? And does it work as a true general chef's knife? And does this work as a true petty? And understanding my tools. And it's what a knife is. Everyone who looks at it and they go, in today's society, they look at it, oh, it's a weapon. That's a tool. My hip knife, it's maybe kind of large, has some sentimental value. It's a glorified box cutter, but I also use it as all kinds of other tools. I cut rope. It's also my display item for what I do. So primarily focusing on the kitchen world allows me to get in with a lot of nerds. There's a lot of chefs and there's a lot of foodies and there's a lot of people who really enjoy food. It's one of the few times, and we drove an hour and 30 minutes to get here from Marietta. If you've driven 3 hours a day and you've worked for 8 hours and you get home, one of the few things you can do is prepare an awesome meal for yourself and your family and have that family time, or even if it's for yourself. And so when you have a knife that just makes everything beautiful and doesn't bruise, it's just, it's part of it, it seems nowadays.
What's the scale or what's the starting price of a handmade knife versus a mass produced knife?
My production line, as far as kitchen knives go, started about $275.
Okay.
And that's standard Magnolia African Blackwood handles. And I mean, that's from Barstock. I forge it. It's not like I even use a machine. It's all hand forged by hammer.
So comparing it to you started in the interview talking about a production knife, a good one that you really do your homework, around $200. So there's really not, it's not a,
you can get cheaper too.
Well, I'm sure you can.
There's a lot of,
yes, but if I'm going to compare a handmade to a production made, I would want top of the line.
The other aspect is customer service. Like, number one, I want to get to know you. Mm-hmm. I want to understand what you want, because that helps me even from edge geometry. If I go, Steve's a little rambunctious, he's a pretty big guy, I'm gonna make it a little tougher knife, and I'm gonna understand that. But if you're looking for a laser or something super precise, and I know you're not gonna go into bones, and I know you're not gonna go through really cook crusty meats and ruin the edge, it's a little different thing. And so that's part of that is I've never spent time in kitchens. I come from a martial background and from a blacksmithing background, so it's been good for me to get my knives in a couple chefs' hands and really get strong R&D and get their feedback, constant feedback. And I'm like, look, obliterate it. I want that knife. I want you to make fun of my knife. I want this to be the best thing ever so I can sleep at night.
We're talking with John Moulton with Hunsberg Knives. I mean, you're not a knife manufacturer. I mean, you're an artist.
He's an artist.
Yep. You're an artist.
Yes.
Every knife is different.
Yeah. Yes.
And what I love is just the passion. And the happiness that just exudes from you, just talking about, you know, what you do and what you get a lot of gratification out of manufacturing or putting together these knives.
I get satisfaction when my friends and people I know and people I, and they come in and they buy a knife for someone else. Mm. And part of that is having high standards. There's no FCC of knife making. There's no governing body per se. There's the ABS. There's a couple things where you can go and get some certifications, but there's a lot of people putting out knives that don't understand basic metallurgy. They don't understand what they're actually doing. They can make a beautiful stunning knife or a hyperly functional knife, but merging the two and then merging business sense let me retract. That would be stating that I have business sense. I have no business sense, but the willingness to go and learn that world. And there's very few guys in the custom world. There's Murray Carter, Bloodroot Blades. There's a couple companies that they sell like gangbusters. They establish a rapport. They establish a
brand?
A brand, an image, a trust across the board. People hear that name and they go, absolutely. And there's wait lists for a year or two, I believe, for Bloodroot Blades.
What I was noticing or what I was thinking about, you nailed it, Mike, when you called him an artist. And then I thought, okay, artists who create paintings and sculptures that hang on a wall or sit in a place, he's creating art, but it's art that's a tool. You said it was a tool yourself. Now, you said there's no FCC kind of regulating. One of the questions that kind of popped in my head when I first saw that you were going to be on the show was, we hear a lot talking about, and I know most of your knives are for the kitchen, but just talking in general about handmade knives, what are... Some people go, well, hey, we got to talk about carrying guns. Is there anything to talk about when it comes to carrying
legally? Can you carry a knife around? I know legally,
yeah, and just kind of knives in our general culture.
That's a big dark
loaded,
hole.
It's a loaded question. Yeah,
do we have enough time? Okay, so
can you cover it on the surface?
Yes. Well, yeah, we'll do the overview. So, from my very opinionated point of view, knives have been taken and been glorified as a weapon. Mm-hmm. They're in movies and you see these big, like the tracker knife that spawned off the big ugly looking thing. And instead of just being culturally, we have laguioles in the French, and you have different patterns that would come around. Pucos, very traditional. Most cultures that actually have culture will have like a standard knife because it's just a tool.
Right.
It's a tool you use for everything. And it's not looked at any different from a fork or from a draw knife, or from a pitchfork, or a rake. It's just part of your tools. And people say, well, it's a little dated. It's not part of modern culture. And I kind of say, you know, you're right. There's a lot of people who don't need something like that. But, and that's my but is obviously is what I do, is that I find it kind of classy if somebody can carry something and maintain it and take care of it. And it creates a, it's kind of a counter wave to the disposable culture of going to Walmart and buying a knife or anything. Oh, this clock's broken. We're just going to throw it away.
Yep.
And it's getting back to, go ahead.
And it is a part of a larger cultural movement of going back to doing things, slowing down. You mentioned it, doing things with great care, doing things with the highest standard possible. And I love that you focus on cutlery and in the kitchen, which is also, let's go back. And at the end of a very long day and at the end of a hectic, busy day, let's slow down and use the right tools to have the best meal we possibly can. So you are making what you are preaching, and it fits in with your mission.
The attempt is, and going back to what I was saying, going up to North Carolina to spend some time with my friend Steve, we're going back even slower. There's some traditions in knife making where you barely use anything that's even electrical. You don't use a powered abrasive, a powered grinder, or anything. There's people actually using draw knives on steel, which is just bizarre for our mind. So you get to spend all this time in silence. And he and I have been discussing this because our machines are really loud and you're wearing ear covers and you've got music in your ears and you come back and you've got TMJ and you're popping ibuprofen and, you know, it's kind of all this stuff. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. And especially if you're doing a small production batch for one of the retailers, and you say, you know, that's good. That covers a demographic. Like, I can do small batch stuff. But if I'm going to make personal stuff to sell, I'd rather take my time and really slow down. And it's kind of counterintuitive for the business practice. You want to usually say, okay, how can I get faster? Well, for me, that's, I want to be able to bring in my friends as specialists. So if I have somebody who's really into woodworking and doing handles, if I can get 20 handles from him and pay him to do that, and he can be in his happy place, and then we can share a drink afterwards, I want my quality of life to go up, not my quantity of life.
So we've been speaking with John Moulton from Huntsburg Cutlery Tools Classes and Live Forging Demonstrations. John, you and I went down a very deep philosophical, sociological, and cultural hole, which is I love. So Mike made jokes about my hair, so I make jokes about how we've lost him. So okay. I'm going to get him back.
Okay.
By going, Mike, these knives are really, really cool.
I just want
to go ahead.
I just want to know what's John's deal. Why is he so against knives and spoons? I mean, you know, all the
knives. He's not against knives.
All the forks and spoons. I'm sorry, forks and spoons.
You know, if you're going to set up a joke that, make sure you use the right.
All the forks and spoons, folks.
Rather than Ric Flair, that was more like Barry Horowitz. All right. Go ahead, Mike.
Real quick, because we want to give the website, because I want people to see these products. I mean, they are pieces of art. I mean, they're incredible. Before we ask you about the website and so forth, talk about taking what you love in a hobby and transitioning this into a business and what that's been like. I mean, have there been some conflicts there? Because now you've got to get these knives out to the customers.
It's all failure. And I focus on it intentionally as that. As I say, if I go in there and go, I'm going to succeed. I always end
I've
up.
I've got to sell 50 knives this month.
Yeah, no, I
can't work that way.
Yeah, exactly. The whole point is that I don't know anything about this. The same thing when I started making this, I knew that I had to destruction test a bunch of knives and try different things. And I had to shoot in the dark. And I'm happy to do that. And it makes me, as long as I learn from that, or attempt to anyways. And that's where I'm at, because I come to you guys and you guys are ninjas of this world. And I'm sitting there in kind of in a dark corner going, I don't know the first thing about business. I'm like, give me cash, please. You know,
because you're not doing it for the money. I mean, you love what you do, and to see people, you know, take the product and adore what they're looking at and go, wow, this is beautiful. And
I still have to put food on the table. So there definitely has to be like pricing for me has been one of the hardest things. And at first it was,
give me whatever you think.
Roughly hour. And now it's honestly come back to, I spent time studying with Jason Knight, who's a very well-known master smith. And he said, look, do you want to make 20 knives a year and sit on them? Or do you want to make and have 20 at the end of the year extra? Or do you want to sell all your knives and have a waiting list? He's like, start where you can get stuff sold. Don't worry about the demographics. Don't worry about if you've got stuff in a jewelry store, having a higher price because of perceived market value. Don't worry about any of it. Get them in people's hands, get feedback, make more, get an established, a secure name that people are secure in.
I would think you get some people that just because of how nice some of these are, they just get them to display them. They don't even utilize them.
And I could look at your face, like, that ticks you off because they are such nice
products. It's a tool.
It's a tool.
Use the tool.
They're not using it.
But there's a whole section of knives, and in many art forms. I mean, in hair, there's, I mean, they do runway shows and all this stuff. So that's part of it.
Right.
And I think it's beautiful. I've met several guys. They sell $15,000 knives.
Right.
You think anybody's cutting their mail open with that guy or their steak? No, it goes in a special made box.
But when you were talking, and I think it comes down to the artist, and we were talking to hair artists from Muse, and I think what it comes down to is where is your passion? Your passion, you talked about the tool. You talked about the chefs. You talked about your friends, and you talked about getting to know what is this person going to cut with it. There's art to it, but the functionality is never lost, and it's actually where your passion lies.
Well, the function has to be first. And that even if you slip that in with people, I think it also helps people understand that you're not making, it's not abstract art. It's right. It's very, 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 very functional. It's that's its goal when it comes down to it. It's a tool.
All right. Well, John, don't mean to cut the interview short here, but go ahead and give the website so folks can, thank you, the website where folks can actually see the product and talk to you about maybe ordering something.
It's hunsperg.com, HUNDSPERG.com. I'm also on Facebook, Hunsberg Knives, and on Instagram. That's really where I put most of my stuff up, is Instagram, and that's Hunsberg Knives as well.
All right. Well, John, thank you for coming and sharing that, and I wish you would show a little bit more passion maybe next time about what you're doing. But
I'll
thank
get to
you.
It.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
Mike, it never gets old when we talk to business owners who are passionate about what they do. And we had another examples with two great businesses today. Another business that is very passionate is Faratech. Faratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies and offer outstanding customer service. Faratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Faratech products, so you know they stand behind their quality. For more info, Mike, you and all of our listeners can visit Faratech.com. You can also call them at 770-582-1188.
All right. Thank you very much, Stephen. By the way, John, Amy wants to know, can you do a purple knife? She wants a purple knife. Yeah.
I would totally buy it.
I have a bar of Purple Heart that I can do Purple Heart handles in with brass, copper, gold, oh, not gold.
That's a lot of my budget.
Yeah, time out. How much is it going to cost?
there's your next birthday or Christmas gift.
Valentine's is, yeah.
Okay, hold on. I don't need to give her anything that she can harm me with.
Hey, listen, business gets done on Business Radio X. We're not concerned about you and your budget right now. We're talking about love.
Okay, but we're going to
knives.
Well-being now.
Well, okay.
Handmade scissors is next.
We don't want to make any headlines and be in the news, okay?
Well, that would be very beneficial to
us.
That's
huge.
There you go. All right, a big thank you to John Moulton with Hunsberg and Knives. And what's the company? Give the whole, because I'm just saying Hunsberg Knives here.
Yeah, Hunsberg Knives, cutlery tools, classes, and live forging demonstrations.
There you go, because there's so much more to just that. And to Amy and Nate Wilson from Muse Salon Suites. Quick reminder, you can listen to the show anytime, 24/7, by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. Not only this show, but any of our other episodes are there 24/7, so listen to those great shows. And follow us and like us on Twitter and on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. Stephen, any final words? I'm sure you got some final parting shots after a show like today.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I keep having this vision now in my head of one of those Rambo movies where, you know, I've got a nice, awesome knife and I'm shaving off the rest of what little is left of the hair on top of my head. So I don't know why I have that vision at the end of this show, but that's what I have.
All right. And on that, we'll just end the show on that vision. How's that
Absolutely.
Sound? All right. So for Trey Odom and everybody else, I'm Mike Salmon. And for Stephen Julian, we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.